Come on, let's just pray. Ask God to bless our time. Father, we thank you so much for today. You've given us breath today to be able to worship you. You've given us time this morning to gather together as the congregation, as the body and the community of Believers Chapel. Father, every person that's here, God, I pray that we walk in this place ready to hear from you. God, just ready to have an ear to hear from you. God, that we walk in this place hungry for your word. We walk in this place hungry to worship you and respond to you because of who you are, that you truly are the great I am. And we are here to honor you and exalt your name and to celebrate you as a creator of the universe. And Lord, when we understand what you've done for us on that cross through your son, Jesus Christ, we come to worship Jesus and acknowledge Christ as our Lord and Master. We know that your word is true and that you would speak to us in this moment today, Lord. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. Amen. Church, I hope you come truly ready to hear from God. Man, if you turn with me to a few places, Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3, Psalms 8, and then we are going to turn to Isaiah 40. Three places this morning, Ephesians 3, Psalms 8, and then we're going to turn to Ephesians 40. And as we are closing out this series, man, can I just say what this series has done for me? I have loved this series on the power of your thoughts. And if you are new or you've just been checking out and you missed a couple of these, please go back online, livingouttruth.com, and you can catch up and you can get into these messages and get into this series. It has been so good for me, and I've had so much feedback from you and understanding the power of our thoughts and knowing that the enemy, the first place he's going to attack is your mind. The first place he's going to try to get into, he's going to try to get into your head. In week one, we talked about our attitudes, whether in our heads we really look at the cup as half full or half empty. Are we those who cast a wet blanket on a great situation? Are we those who when we talked about the plane and the attitude of the plane, where the attitude of the plane needs to be nose up? Are we a nose up person or are we a nose down person? Then second week, we talked about worry and stress and anxiety and just really talked about how stories bring stress in our lives and buying into things that aren't accurate and really knowing that the enemy wants to get in our heads and wants us to walk with anxiety when God says, listen, you don't have to walk in anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. That's what the Bible says. Be anxious for no thing. And God would never tell us to do something when we didn't have the ability in Christ by his Spirit who dwells within us to do something. And we walk in a sense, say, God, I am not going to walk in worry today. I'm not going to walk in anxiety today. It's not going to enter my head, because we're learning that what goes into our mind is a highway to our heart, good or bad. Man, we can be tainted easy in our heart because we've allowed things into our head and our mind, and we've dwelt on it, and stories get bigger and things get worse. We make things up in our heads and it goes right to our heart. And we learn that the enemy is the absolute greatest deceiver, church. He is the greatest deceiver who's trying to get into our heads if we don't guard it. The Bible says to guard your heart and your mind. And what guards our heart and our mind is truly the peace of God. And we've covered this. And last week we talked about what it is to not fear. To know that you've come to the edge of that threshold, man. You're just about to walk over into victory, and the enemy wants to take you out. The enemy wants to put a giant before you that causes you to run the other way, or the enemy wants to cause a circumstance or a situation that gets you all confused in your head and you run away from just inches away. Man, come on, when you understand where the children of Israel were last week, you had the 12 spies went into the land, 10 came back because something got into their head with a negative report and turned possibly millions of people away from just inches, just miles away from victory, and the victory that God already gave them. And man, it's just been powerful, powerful service. And today we're going to a place that I want you to hear this. I want you to understand what happens. What happens when you consider, when you think, when you dwell, when you just come to a place in your life to consider God. To come to a place to comprehend in your mind God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who are three in one, and you come to a place in your mind to consider. Can I ask you, like, honestly, in your days, in your weeks, in your moments, in your mornings, in your afternoons, in your evenings, what is it when you come to a place to just consider God? Not man, not stories, not ideas, not things that are turning our hearts. What happens when you come to a place to just come to a place, as the Bible says, to consider God? We're going to look at this. Ephesians 3. This is great passages. Verse 16. We'll start at verse 16. It says this: then he, that's Jesus, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power according to his Spirit, the inner man. His Spirit in the inner man. Get this now. You've got Christ by his spirit that's in the inner man, that's within us, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Again, where is Christ by his spirit dwelling in our hearts? The word dwell here, it means to remain or to stay or to take residence within. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able, here it is, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth. That the word breadth here is interesting, man. It means something that goes as far this way as it possibly can go that way. Talking about God's creation, as far as the east is from the west, and all four of these words have to do with the expanse of something that's unreachable. The breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. To know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or what? Think. Here it is. Power of your thoughts. According to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. What happens, church, when you really come to a place to know Christ by his spirit, God by his spirit dwells within my inner man, within me. That's where Christ reigns and dwells and resides within me. And in that, I love this, here it is, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that you may be able to comprehend. That is the start of this in regards to our mindset. What happens when you comprehend? The word comprehend, it means to arrest. It means to make your own. What happens when you come to that place to arrest? What happens when you come to that place to make your own? When you comprehend, starts in the mind with all the saints. What is the breadth? Listen, here it is, man. When is it that you really made your own how big God is? When you really came to a place to own it. You came to a place to know my God, who is supreme in all areas. My God, who has no equal. My God, who is the creator of all things. My God, who has such a love for me, he would send his son to die on the cross. When is it that you really stopped and came to a place in your mindset to consider God? To comprehend, to make your own, to arrest in your mindset the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. And to know, this word know, it's gnosko, and it means an experiential knowledge. Been there, done that. I know by experience God's love. Church, what is it when you come to that place in your mindset to really consider, to know by that experiential knowledge? Because I've been there, done that. I know, I love this, here it is, look at this. I know the love of Christ. I've experienced his love. I have come to know by experience the love of Christ, which surpasses understanding. Isn't it amazing when you really know the love of Christ, you really don't know the love of Christ? When you really have that understanding of the depth of my absolute desperate need for Jesus, and Jesus has such a love for me that he put himself on a cross willingly for me, and to understand that is when you really understand that, you don't really come to a place to really understand that, because we know who we are, and there is a love that surpasses knowledge. It surpasses our understanding. Man, we know it in touch. Man, we know it in a part. And in that part, man, it should blow us away. Of his love for us. It says to know, man, to go into that experiential knowledge of the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Here it is, now to know him who is able. I love this. Now him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond. I mean, look at the description. We're talking about God. We could just simply say, now to him who is able to do more than we ask or think according to the power that works within us. But no, he's making a point here in our mindset to what it is to really think about his authority, to think about his power. Now to him who is able, that's not us, that's God. God who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And the word think here, it means to make that mental effort to get to the bottom line. That's what this word think means. In our conscious awareness, in our mindset, going to that place to consider, to think on how powerful God is, to come to that conclusion, the bottom line is God can do all things. There's absolutely nothing impossible for God. Man, I have come to that conclusion that God, based on creation, God, based on his love for me, God, based on me being adopted, God, based on him being my heavenly father, there's absolutely nothing that is impossible or hard for him When is the last time we stopped in our mindset, in our thinker, to think and to consider that God says right here, man, above and beyond all that we ask or think. Church, when is it that you really came to a place to think? To do what it takes in your mindset. Get it now? This is what it means. To do what it takes in your mindset to come to the bottom line conclusion that God can do anything that he pleases because he is God of all power and might. And he is a great creator. And you come to a place, I love this, here it is. According to the power that works within us. Again, go back, the power that works within us. Go back to verse 16. Strengthened with all power through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Back to verse 20. Now him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Church, can I ask you, with Christ in you, is there authority in that? And is there power in that to come to that conclusion? Get it now, to come to that conclusion that God can do anything he chooses to do. I mean, when you understand this and the power of our mindset, when is the last time you really considered God? To him, verse 21, to him be the glory in the church and the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Turn to Psalms 8, please. Turn to Psalms 8, please. Because I want you to see this in this same line. It says this, here it is. Verse 3 says this. When I consider... Here, this is a psalmist. He's writing about God, and he comes to this place that when I consider, or when I comprehend, when I come to that place, when I consider, here it is, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you have ordained. Man, church, when you come to a place of the Adirondacks and you climb these mountains, I was not able to climb Mount Joe. This year, Mount Joe is usually the night climb, and you go to Mount Joe, it's where all these amazing, incredible, wonderful husbands who love their wives, because they can go to this spot and actually make a phone call to their husband or to their wives and to their kids to say hello. At our campsite, there's no cell service. They have to climb a mountain just to talk to you. How amazing is your man, right? Come on. I didn't do that. I drove to town. That's what I did. So, same thing. But anyways, what it is, it's the night hike. And on a night that is just a clear night, you're on the top of this mountain and you just see the brilliance of God and the stars that he has created. And just to look at a night that is just full. And you're looking at, that is just a smidge, man. That is a tip of the Q-tip. To know that this is just a slight, small, tiny picture of the brilliance and the splendor and the majestic and the power of our God, and to know that he has named them all. And when is the last time that you came to a place to consider? That you put your mind in a place to dwell on just God. Not people, not places, not things, not material, not difficulties in life. You came to a place just to consider the absolute brilliance of God. And you've looked at these stars and you looked at the sun. Don't look at the sun tomorrow. You've looked at the moon and you've just seen the absolute incredible powerhouse, brilliance, splendor of God. And church, it should drive you to your face to be, God, you are amazing and you can do abundantly more than all that I ask or think, according to the power that works within me, because I've come to this place in my mindset. There is a power in our strength when we look to a place to just stop and consider God. When you come to a place in the circumstances of life, when the joys of life, when things are going great, we know, man, God is just blessing, and we're in a place of blessing. We just come to a place to consider him and to be thankful to him. And you come to this place of having a difficult season. You come to this place of having a difficult time that you just stop. You just stop. You don't look at the finances. You don't look at the doctor's report. You don't look. You just stop to consider God. And you come to a place, right? Right here where David is, and he says this, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. And then he comes to this incredible conclusion that we all have to come to. What is man? That you take thought of him. When I know how amazing and brilliant and powerful you are, when I come to that grips in my small little peanut mind to come to the understanding of just absolutely how incredible and powerful God you really are, you come to this place. Church, this is why we celebrate God in worship. This is why you see a place in worship where there is a group of a body here, a community here that will dance, that will scream in joy, that will raise our hands in thanksgiving, that will come to a place in this service to walk in a celebration of the worship of our God, because we understand we have stopped to consider how amazing he is and how all-powerful he is, and yet he has taken thought of me. Who am I to a great, all-powerful, one true living God? Who am I to him that he, in all of his brilliance and splendor, would know my name? Now keep your finger right there in Psalms 8, please, and turn to Isaiah 40. Because we're going to zip through Isaiah 40, and it comes to this place. And I want to break this down just for a minute, because I want you to see something this morning, that because there's so many times that we can see, even based on his creation. Like even in Romans 1, God says, listen, there'll be no man, there'll not be one man who will ever be able to stand before him and have an excuse that he doesn't exist. And it's all based on his creation. It's all based on the sun, the moon, the stars. It's all based on the vegetation. It's all based on our own bodies, which are miracles within themselves, that no one will ever be able to stand before God and have an excuse. All based on the things that we see and this globe that we walk on. It's just brilliance. And this is what Isaiah 40 says. This is God speaking through Isaiah, and I love this. Here, pick it up in verse 10. It says this. But the Lord God will come with might. And here I want you to see a picture this morning in regards to when we consider God. Like what happens when you get this amazing picture of God as the creator? You look at the sun, the moon, the stars. You look at the vegetation. You look at the trees. You look at the beast. You look at the things under the sea. You look at the heavens. You look at the earth. You look at you and I and how we have been created. And we should just stop and say, when I consider all of that, I know that God is all powerful and he can take care of anything in my world and in my life. And I just hand it over to him. Why? Because in my mindset, in my comprehension, in my knowing, my experiential knowing, and understanding his love for me, I can trust him. I can trust him with this. You come to a place, I love this, verse 10. And then what happens when we consider that God is a conquering God, that God is a warrior God, that God is one who will fight for us? Behold, the Lord God will come with might. And this word might, it means that he is coming ready for battle. He is prepared to conquer. I love this passage. He's coming ready to battle, and he's coming ready to conquer the enemy. With his arm, the word arm, it means his position or his power ruling for him. That's his strength. That behold, his reward is with him. This is his reward, his payment for the faithful. We see God, he's coming ready to rescue. And church, please hear this, man. We're talking about the cross. We're talking about when, we just sung it this morning, that death was arrested. You and I never, ever have a fear of death for those who are in Christ Jesus. You and I have this understanding that, man, absent from the body is to be very present with the Lord instantly. Last breath here is to be home with the Lord in breath. And to understand that and to know that God in his warrior mindset, God who is always victorious, God who's never late, who never fails, he comes with might. He comes ready. He comes prepared to conquer the enemy. And what comes first is his strength. It's his power. It's his arm. And then he comes with a reward for those who have been faithful. He comes to dish out rewards for those who have been faithful. It's payment for being faithful to him. And then his recompense, and I love this, that is his work. Recompense, it means work to salvation and redemption. Here's how we've been saved and how we've been redeemed. Well, I love it when us who are post-New Testament, we can see how the Old Testament just speaks right in to the New Testament. For us, New Testament believers, you come to a place to understand that salvation and redemption comes through the work of the cross. And you understand this amazing work that Jesus put himself on a cross for us. And this is God. Again, when have you considered? In our mindset. Church, listen. The enemy wants to attack your mind. The enemy wants to lessen God in your head. The enemy wants to lessen God in your mindset. But what happens when you just consider? When you stop and think, no, my God is all powerful. My God truly has created all things. No, my God, he comes in might. He comes like a mighty warrior. He comes prepared for battle. He comes looking for victory as he has conquered death, hell, and the grave through the cross. My God comes with his arm first. That means power and strength. My God comes with a reward for my faithfulness and honoring him and serving him. My God comes with a recompense, with a work that is a completed work of redemption and salvation. What happens when you come to a place to put your mindset in here when you consider what God has done? Here it is, here it is. Like a shepherd. Now, come on, get this, please. Like a shepherd, he will tend to his flock. And his arm, that's his strength. He will gather his lambs, and he will carry them in his bosom. And he will gently lead the nursing ewes. This amazing picture that at first we see God coming in might and God coming in power and God coming ready to conquer and God ready going to battle. And we see this amazing picture of redemption and salvation, which was absolutely a powerhouse battle, church. So we see a very fierce God in a way that he is protecting his church. He is going after victory for his people. We see this God who's going to come in battle, and he's going to come in victory. He's going to come ready to conquer. He's going to come with his arm first and power and might. He's going to come ready to take out the enemy. And then right after that, we see this amazing picture of a gentle shepherd who's here for his sheep. What happens when you consider? When you lose this religious picture of God as this ogre and God as this mean God and God as this angry God who just wants to take you out the first time you make a mistake. God wants to take you out because there's a moment in your life that you've walked in sin as one of his children. We have this picture of a God who just wants to, but yet I love this. Like a shepherd, he will tend to his flock. I love that. He is the keeper. And he will always take us to good pasture. He will tend to his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them. This word is actually nasen. It means to lift up. Well, when does a shepherd lift up one of his sheep? When the sheep have fallen and can't get up, church. The shepherd will go over to a lamb that has laid down, and if a lamb falls on its back, it is impossible to get up, and a shepherd doesn't get to them quickly, the lamb is going to die. So what an amazing picture of that moment that you and I fall, that moment that you and I come to that place to stumble. We don't have this angry God who's ready with his gavel to come put judgment on you that you are no longer mine. That's not the God we serve. That's not the God of the Bible. We have a God who says, when you stumble, I'm a shepherd who's going to come and pick you up and not even just put you on your feet. Nasa means I will lift you up because he will carry you in his arms. And that's for those who come to that place to stumble. That's for those who've come to that place to make mistakes as a child of God, as one who recognizes, what is it when I really consider truth? Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. What happens when I come to that place to dwell on that which is true and that which is lovely and that which is right and the things of a good report and things that are excellent and worthy of praise? What happens when we follow the very first pattern? We started this journey 4 weeks ago in regards to what it looks like to set our mind on Christ, to what it looks like to dwell and to concentrate on that which is true and that which is right and that which is pure and that which is lovely. What happens when we come to a place even today to consider God? God, when I stumble, you're there to pick me up and to carry me until I can get back to a place to be on my feet. I love this because, church, everybody stumbles. Everybody misses the mark as a follower of Christ. And we have a Father who will come to that place. He says, Sean, I love you. What is it when you consider me that I'm here to pick you up? I'm not here to punch you in the face. I'm not here to take my gavel and dismiss you from me. I'm here as a shepherd to pick you up, carry you if I have to, put you back on your feet, and take you to a place of good pasture. And I love this because it says this, and he will carry them in his bosom, and he will gently lead the nursing ewes. We have an amazing, incredible God who is gentle, We have an amazing, incredible God. The verse before this, he's fierce in his conquering the enemy. He's ferocious. And then when it deals with his children, he is gentle. What happens, church, when you come to this place to really consider God? Verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, who has marked off the heavens by a span and calculated the dust of the earth by a measure and weighted the mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales. I just got to read a little bit because this is so good. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or has his counselor has informed him? The answer repeatedly is no one. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? No one. With whom did he consult and give him understanding? With who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like the drop in a bucket. They are regarded as a speck of the dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust, and Lebanon is not enough to burn. It is the beast enough to burn an offering. Verse 21, did you not know? Have you not heard? It has been declared to you from the beginning. Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. And amazing that when you begin to really consider God and define who God is, when you come back to that place, who am I that he would take thought of me? Right here in Isaiah, he says, listen, listen, listen. And his power and might is like we're just grasshoppers in his sight. Who stretches out the heaven like a curtain and spreads out them all like a tent to dwell in. He reduces rulers to nothing, who makes judges on the earth meaningless. Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads their host by number, who calls them all by name because of his greatness and his might and his strength of his power. None of them is missing. Church, what happens when you come to a place to consider God? What happens when the power of your thoughts come to a place that we're no longer looking to material, we're no longer looking to the finances, we're no longer looking to those who've hurt us, we're no longer looking to the things that have gone wrong, we're looking to a place to consider the creator of the universe in our lives, that he dwells within me by his spirit, and in that there's power, and in that there's authority. And church, what happens when that thought, the considering God, when it takes the highway to your heart, because the things in your head, if you let them sit there, they're going to make their way to the heart, good, bad, and ugly. When you come to a place to say, man, I want the things on the highway to my heart to be that, to consider God. I don't want to buy into stories. I don't want to buy into stress. I don't want to buy into worry. I don't want to buy into fear. I don't want to buy in this attitude that is against everyone. I don't want to buy in this wet blanket. I want to buy in and consider God in my life. And in that, I want that to sink in to the reality of my heart. What happens when you come to a place right here? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. Man, pay attention. Just what happens when we really paid attention to his power and his might? He can do far above, exceedingly, all that we ask or think, according to the power, according to him who works within us. Church, what happens in your life and where you're at, even this morning, where you're at right now, what happens when you come to a place to consider God? The one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name because of his greatness, of his might, and the strength of his power. Not one, I love it, not one is missing. Can you turn back to Psalms 8, please? So what happens when you consider his power and might, church? What happens when you come to a place to realize even creation just screams his splendor, it screams his majesty, it screams his authority? I love the second half of this because it says this. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him? And here it is. Here it is. Verse 4. And what is the son of man that you care for him? Just what happens when first thing you know how amazingly powerful God is, that he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's always been. He's never lacked. He's never late. He's always faithful. And he can do whatever he pleases to do. And we, his great creation, the billions of us who are on the earth right now, we're like grasshoppers in his sight. And who are we that he actually would take thought of us? Have you ever come to that place? God, who am I that you and how amazing you are and how splendid you are in all of your majesty, you actually think about me? And who am I that you even care for me? And I know my sin. I know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I know that I come from that cesspool of sin. I know that even on my good day, I'm like a filthy menstrual rag. I know that all in your sight. And who am I? Who am I who constantly continues to stumble at times? Who am I that you even care for me? Have you ever been wowed when you just stop and you think of how much God loves you? When you see how big He is, and you come to a place to think, He loves me. He loves me. The Creator of the universe in His mass, incredible, majestic splendor, power, and might, He thinks about me. And He loves me. What happens, church, when you come to a place to consider? To see that that's truth and to see that that's a reality. What's that do for you? Why is it, church? Can I ask you this? Why is it that we respond to God in worship here in the community? And I'm hoping that you're understanding worship at home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, coming together as a community on Sunday to just acknowledge God and consider God and cry out to God and be amazed at who He is in your life day in and day out, to consider He is all powerful and yet He thinks about me, and He is the Creator of the universe, and knowing who I am, yet He still cares for me. Who am I that He still cares for me? He loves me. Church, this is why we come to a place to worship Him. This is why we come to a place to acknowledge Him and that we're amazed at Him. For the one who really understands that, for the one who has stopped to consider God, church, it is not difficult to worship. It's not difficult to be amazed. It's not difficult to respond to who He is. Because He loves me. So much so that He sent His only Son to die on a cross for me. So much so that in my sin and in my filth and in my shame, Jesus came. And I love this. 1 John 4, verse 16 says this, that we have come to know and have believed. We have come to know, it's the same word, that experiential knowledge. I have come to experience and to believe, have trusted. The word believe here, it means I have trusted the love which God has for us. For God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. For we have come to know. Church, can I ask you this? Have you considered how God has so loved you? I have come to know, and I have come to believe in His love for me. You go three verses down, verse 19, it says, we love only because He first loved me. I have the ability to love Him and to respond to Him because I know, man, I know how much He loves me. I know what His love and the action of what love means. It cost Him His Son to die on the cross for me. And I know that even in my stumbles, even in my failures, He's come to a place to lift me up and to pick me up and set me in a place as a gentle shepherd would do. He's come to a place to love me and care for me in such a way that now I can say that I am born again and I am saved because of what Jesus has done for me. Why? Because the Father loved me, for God so loved the world. And you come to a place today to think, when have I really come to a place to consider? Do I consider this morning after morning after morning? What is it? Please, what is it that I do consider? Can you just bow your heads just for a minute, church? Can I just ask you, we're going to close in a song today. But can I ask you, what is it that you do consider? Can I ask you, what is it that consumes your mind? What would happen? What would happen if you honestly come to a place to say, I want to consider how amazing and all powerful in His great creation. And I'm reminded every single day of His creation because I breathe the very breath that He gave me and allowed me to breathe. because I walk on this globe that he created for me to walk on. I breathe the very oxygen that he made for me to breathe. And I see the sun, the moon, the stars, and just how amazing his creation is. And in that, I just stop and wonder, who am I that he takes thought of me? But the best news is he does. So much so that he picks us up and he carries us, because he is a gentle father and he's a gentle shepherd. What happens if you consider the second thing this morning? Just truly how much he loves you. He's not an angry God who's mad at you because you've walked in sin. He's not an angry God even because maybe you're here this morning and you've drifted. Maybe you're here this morning, you've had a difficult summer. Maybe you're here this morning, you're having a rough go at it at home. Maybe you're here this morning and you just come to a place. Maybe you've just had a difficult time and you just think for a moment that God's angry because you've drifted. You're not in the same place that you once were. Maybe this morning you come to a place, man, I haven't even considered his amazing love for me, that in all, he knows me. He knows everything I've done. He knows exactly the place that I'm in. He knows exactly how far I've gone. And yet, he cares for me. He loves me as a father. He loves me as a shepherd, as I do. Man, I belong to him. And in that, I'm promised that when I turn, he's there waiting for me. When have you considered the power of your thoughts? You've come to a place to consider that he loves me. That he cares for me. That he has forgiven me by the work of the cross. And that I am saved. And that I become his son and I become his daughter. And even in drifting, man, I belong to him. And he loves me. He loves me. What do you fill your mind with, church? What is it that you consider? What happens if this morning we walk out of this place and day in and day out we come to that reality just to consider God? Just to consider God. And you come to the realization that, man, he loves me. Who am I that he would love me? Man, I don't get it. To know the love of Christ, and it surpasses my understanding. We know that, man. It's beyond what I could imagine. I don't understand it. I don't know why that he still loves me. But he does. Because God loved the world, and it's a love that goes to such a depth that there's times that it's the length and the breadth and the depth and the height beyond anything that we can reach. It's his love for you. What happens? What happens day in and day out in your circumstance and your struggle, day in and day out, and you're drifting day in, day out, and your decision making, you come to that place to consider. Consider God. And we put that in our mindset. Now that take the highway to the heart, and it is. Church, please hear this. It's life changing. It's life-changing. Come on, let's stand to our feet, please, and let's just cry out to God. I've asked for this song this morning, and I just want us to sing, because we've taken some time this morning to consider that he loves me. I'm asking you to respond this morning in worship. I'm asking you to respond to this morning in worship. I just want to read one more verse. And I was reading Psalms this week, and I came across this, and I love it. It's Psalms 111. And this is us, church. This is us. And I love this because this is Believer's Chapel, man. This is dealing with the church. It's dealing with the community. It says this, praise the Lord. And the word praise here is the word halal. And it means a celebration. You come into Believer's Chapel, I want you to see a celebration. If you're new in BC, I want you to come in. And you I don't want you to leave going, oh, they're kind of boring. And they say they serve this amazing, incredible God. No, I want you to leave this place. And if you're here for the first time, go, well, it was different. But I know that they celebrate their God. That's what I saw this morning, is that they celebrate their God. Praise the Lord, or halal, or hallelujah. That's where we get that term, hallelujah. It means a celebration. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will give thanks. It's the Hebrew word yadad. It means I will give thanks with extended hands. You may see a group of people in this place this morning that just extend their hands towards heaven, and we come to this place in Psalm 111, say, listen, I'm going to celebrate, and in the midst of celebration, I'm going to even raise my hands. And people are going to look around and think I'm crazy, but that's okay, because God says, listen, raise your hands and give thanks. And I love this. Here it is. Here it is. In the company of the upright and in the assembly. You know what the company of the upright is? That's the church. Church, that's us. And in the assembly, you know what the word assembly means? It means the congregation, the gathering of believers. You know what we do every single Sunday? We're the congregation, and we are the assembly, the gathering of the believers. Every Sunday morning, we come to a place to celebrate God, and we come to a place to lift our hands in amazing praise of giving thanks to Him, because we are the church, and we come together as the assembly, and we come together as the congregation, those who have called on the name of Jesus. And church, I just want to come to a place as we get into this morning and close in a song, that you walk out and you consider just how powerful our God is. Then you come to consider that in all of my junk, who am I that you even still care for me? And you come to a place to say, no, He loves me. I need my mind to park. Again, the enemy will come after your mind. Church, don't let the enemy in your head. Don't let people in your head. Don't let doubt in your head. Consider. He loves me. And today I'm asking that by His Spirit, He would lift you up and put you back on your feet. But you know, I have a Father who is gentle. And I have a Father who will lift me up when I've stumbled. And He will take me and He will lead me to good pasture so I can feast again. Come on, let's just worship, please.
Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed our glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are now. Great Your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us all. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us. Oh, sing that again. And oh, how He loves us all.
Sing.
How He loves us. that, sing it out. And oh, how he loves us, oh. Oh, how he loves us, how he loves us. How boldly we say that today, sing it out. Sing that again as we close out today. And oh, how he loves us, oh. Oh, how he loves us, how he loves us, oh. And oh, how he loves us, oh. God, thank you. God, thank you. God, thank you. God, help us to always be a people known by how thankful we are for what you have done for us. God, remind us of your greatness every day. Remind us of your grace and your mercy every day. Father, we thank you for our time here together. We bless your name. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said. Amen. Amen. Yeah.